that has ever been made in all the Word of God. We certainly have nothing to glory in save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it, and He's done it all. Give all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory to Him because He's worthy. And don't be afraid to praise God a little bit. Lift your hand up. Some of you grandmas in here and mamas need to learn to get your hand up in the air, and some of you daddies. And that's right. You see, what I'm saying is this, church, that everything that praises God must lift upward. The trees grow upward in praise to God. The flowers and the grass, they grow upward in praise to God. That's right. There's nothing wrong with lifting your hand every now and then saying hallelujah, glory to God. It'd do your heart well. I'll tell you, it'd do you good. It would. Amen. And that's good to do that. And certainly we're 20 million years behind time on praising God. I'll tell you, just a few seconds on in eternity, over on the other side, when you get there, you would to God, you'd praise Him a whole lot more than you did down here. Amen. I'll tell you, we're about to get there. We really are. And one of these days, you'll see all the splendor of heaven. I'll tell you, I've never seen it with my eye, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard to even try to conceive in my heart and in my mind what heaven's going to be like. Put it like this, what the presence of God's going to be like. For wherever Jesus is will be like heaven to us, wherever it might be. We're going to live 1,000 years of heaven on earth. That'll be a wonderful time. Amen. And if I know anything about that, it does appear that the marriage supper could last at least 3.5 years. You're talking about a meal. Under God. Sunday's going to be watermelons there, big. Under God, I'm telling you, there'll be some watermelons on that table somewhere. Or out back in chilling down in some glorified ice. Amen. But there will be watermelons up there. I know they will be. God wouldn't give something that good down here and then take it away from us in heaven. No, sir. Amen. I'll tell you, I know that I wish I could just get my heart to you, but I really believe in the depths of my soul that the trumpet's about to sound and we're getting ready to leave here. It's not going to be long down the road. I'm glad that I'm ready. Amen. I was thinking a while ago, we need to rejoice in our heart like we're going to be alive at the rapture, but we need to be prepared to die. And how true that is. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. I want to thank the Lord for the good spirit that He's put in the church tonight. And just not a lot of shouting and carrying on, but it just seemed to me like a good spirit. I'm in perfect peace up here. I don't feel like I'm in a straitjacket. So many times you come to church, you feel like you're in a straitjacket. And I don't feel that way at all tonight. Thank God for that. Hebrews chapter number 11, and you can find that place. You can stand with us tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I want to read the same text that I read on Tuesday night, or rather last Sunday night. I appreciate God helping us last Sunday night preach on Moses. I'm going to preach again tonight along that line. I'm going to use Moses from a springboard, but I'm not necessarily going to be preaching on the faith of Moses. Now, announce to you here in just a minute what I want to try to, the thought that I want to try to convey tonight. In verse 24, the Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now may God add His blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank Thee, Lord, for the good singing that we've enjoyed. And Lord, the good Spirit of God that's enabled our people to lift their voice up in praise unto He who ever liveth to make intercession for us. I thank You tonight for the eternal power, the omnipotence, the omniscience of Almighty God. I thank You tonight, Lord, that You search the hearts and try the reins, and that You're aware of every need in this building and those by the radio, those that's listening. Lord, nothing escapes the mind of God, for Thou knowest all things. And Father, it's my prayer that tonight that You would help the preacher. I need Your help to preach. I'm just a hunk of clay. May the sweet Spirit of the living God see fit to pass by our way tonight and breathe on me and let me preach. And then, Lord, would you please pass by tonight. Anoint your people with power, with grace, and with glory. Fill our hearts with jubilance and joy. Help us, I pray, to set our affections upon Thee and not upon this world. Help us now to find perfect liberty tonight, not to try to be somebody we're not, but, Lord, just to be ourselves and preach Thy Word. And we'll thank You for doing it. May You be glorified and sinners saved. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to call your attention for our text verse tonight, church, to verse number 25. Where Paul, I believe Paul writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to those Jews, those Hebrews that were dispersed, writing to those that some apparently had pulled up to the very threshold of salvation and then withdrawn themselves for fear of peer pressure or some other reason. And he makes this statement, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, I want to preach on a thought tonight that I'm satisfied that has well escaped the minds of most Baptist preachers. And I don't know as I've ever heard it preached on. And I realize that tonight I'll be limited in what I can say and the message that I can bring. But I want to preach for a little while on this thought, faith and afflictions. Faith and afflictions. It's not going to be very exciting, I'll tell you that right now. But Brother Paul said here about the man Moses that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, if you remember in our last message that I preached, we more or less looked at the life of Moses here and things that he had refused in his life in order to embrace the children of God, in order to embrace the grace of the living God. And if you remember, he refused in verse number 24, he refused to honor, worldly honor. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he refused that honor in order to embrace the grace of God. He would rather have the afflictions that come with being a Christian than he would to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then also, or that was in verse 24, where he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And in verse number 25, this man refused the pleasures of this life. He said he had rather enjoy, or the reproach of Christ was greater riches to him than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in this life for a season. And he refused that. He rejected that. He looked out at the people of God in those brick pits and slime pits and saw them under the load, under the affliction that they were living under the horrible condition that they were living under. And he said, I'd rather be out there with them than I would be living in the palace. And then in verse number 26, there he refused the riches or the wealth of this world. Three things, worldly things, that Brother Moses rejected in order to enjoy the good grace of God. Now, and by the way, it was by faith that he rejected those things. I'm going to say to you tonight, friend, that the grace or a life of faith is a wonderful thing to live, but it's not always an easy thing to live. It's not always an easy life. Moses had to make a choice. He had to make a choice in staying in the palace and enjoying worldly things or suffering affliction down yonder with the children of God. I want to say this again and stress it tonight, that he made his decision when he had come of years. He was a rational, mature, adult man. When he looked at the afflictions of the children of God and watched them laboring under the taskmasters, watched them working long hours of the day on very little bread, very little water, living in poverty, and he made a choice realizing that he would rather live with them in their afflictions than he would to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I want to say this tonight by way of introduction. I'm satisfied that afflictions have been a misinterpreted thing in our day. I don't believe there's many people that really understand what it means to be afflicted by God or to live a life of affliction. May I say this? That it does seem, afflictions do seem to follow the people of God. I want to run that right by you again. If you're a Christian tonight, if you've been born again tonight, if you've come out of the world tonight, if you've been to Calvary, if you know the Lord, if you're following His footsteps tonight, mark her down in your little black book, friend, that afflictions and tribulations will abide with the children of God, but they're not there, my friend, to destroy us. They're there by divine purpose that God might work the work of grace in our life and conform us to His Son and make us a child that will bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord. Afflictions. Most folks have no, and I'm satisfied there's people in this building tonight who are suffering afflictions. And they may very well be from the very divine hand of Almighty God in your life. Somebody said, well, the Jews down there, it wasn't there. I mean, that what they were suffering wasn't from God. I beg to differ with you. Has it ever occurred to you that the greatest tribulation this world will ever know, a time of Jacob's trouble, my friend, 7 years called the Great Tribulation, will be the divine hand of God chastising the nation of Israel to awaken them and arouse them to the fact that thy Redeemer lives and has come in a gift in power and glory to establish His kingdom upon earth. And I want to say to you, by the grace of God, I'm not a Jew, but I'm a saved child of God, and I'm a longing for the day when the trumpet sounds and the Son of God comes back. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now, don't anybody leave me. Afflictions. We're not going to jump pews, but I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach afflictions. See, hey, it's not very exciting, but it is down where we live. Because Moses looked out there, and he saw those people in the mud with a little tally of straw trying to make bricks to build cities with. Under the hand of a rigorous taskmaster, driving them every step of the way. Moses literally said, I'd rather live in a pit of mud with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin that I'll have living in Pharaoh's palace, being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, with all of its wealth, all of its honor, and all of the pleasures that go along with it. That's right, that's right. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, now that word affliction, I'm going to tell you that affliction in the Bible has got a plurality of definitions. It's hard to take Hebrew words and just use one English word to translate them by. Because a Hebrew word, I mean, the same word can be used in so many different ways in English. But that word affliction, now get this now, it means to throw into disorder. Can you see those people in that pit? Do you think that they were living in perfect order and harmony and unity? Oh, no. Affliction means to throw in disorder. Let me ask you something tonight. Is there anybody in the church, anybody present tonight, that your life is in disorder? It's been disarrayed? That you're living a life of confusion? You're confounded? You don't know which end's up, which way's down, what you're going to do tomorrow, what you'll do the next day? It may just very well be the hand of God in your life with afflictions, my friend, that He might work His divine will and purpose in your life for you. That's right. Don't you say, hey, that was disorder. That word means to perplex. Anybody in here perplexed? What about financial perplexing? You perplexed over your finances, maybe? Don't know how you're going to make ends meet? Maybe there's something in you. Maybe you got a business. It ain't doing what you think it ought to do.
Maybe everything's upside down. That's what I'm trying to say. Moses looked at their life and realized they were living a life that was upside down. It just didn't gel out to what was going on up yonder in the palace. See that worldly crowd today, church? Son, it appears right now they got everything going their way. And they're really enjoying life and enjoying this world and everything that goes along with it. But I tell you, friend, I'd rather be confounded and perplexed by the worldly crowd and by the devil to enjoy the pleasures of their sin for a season. That's right, amen. I tell you, I like to have a little bit of money in my pocket and a little nest egg in the bank and like to be able to get by all right. But I'm telling you, I don't need wealth. I don't need honor. I don't mean my name in the lights. Honey, I need God Almighty, the same thing you need. That's right. I'd rather have a little affliction, little disorder, little perplexity. That word means to confound. It means to confuse. It means to be in an uproar. Is your life in an uproar? Maybe your family life's like a hell at the house. Maybe your home life's like a life of hell. Are you listening to me? Maybe where you work's like a life of hell and you can't understand why you are living in the mess you are living in. And yet you are trying to serve God and love God. I'm telling you that afflictions and bonds and tribulations and persecutions, my friend, accompany salvation. And I esteem it greater riches than all the riches of this world. Afflictions. Are you confounded a little bit? Your life topsy-turvy? You confused? It means to be under pressure. You living under any kind of pressure? Surely some of you are. Surely there's a number of people that's in this building and some out there, got their own microphone, that's under pressure. It's like Brother Paul said in the book of Corinthians, in so many words, he said, I'm troubled on every side. He said, I'm living under pressure. He said, that's right. He said, just on every hand, there's something of pressure in me in life. I live under constant pressure every hour of the day. My life is under pressure to the point that I am pressed out of measure. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, by the way. Does your life feel like you're pressed out of measure? I mean, just burdens and, oh man, the songs that we sing tonight. I mean, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And I forget what the song, some of the songs, Brother Joe, didn't they go right along? Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Didn't these songs go right along with what I'm trying to preach? What about hardships? That word means to live under pressure. It means to live under hardship. Anybody in here tonight living under hardship? Amen. What I'm trying to say is by faith, old Moses looked out at the hardships and the pressure. And the confusion and the uproar that the children of God were living under. And he said, I'd rather have that than to have the world. And by faith, he refused it all and set out to serve God Almighty. Amen. Afflictions. Afflictions. And then the final definition I come up with that word. It means emotional distress. How's your emotions today? Huh? Feel kind of out of order? Uptight? Under pressure? Huh? Feel like you could bite wifey's head off every now and then? Feel like you could bite husband's head off every now and then? Afflictions. We're living there. Are you hearing me? It's not just the Jews, folks. Sometimes we want to look at the Bible and say, oh, well, poor little things. You know, I hate that they had to live that way. But I'm telling you, if you look around you at the circumstances of life that you're living under, you'll come to the conclusion, no, my feet's not in the mud pit of making brick for Pharaoh, but my life is surrounded by pressures and turmoil and tribulation and hardship and heartache. I tell you, that life accompanies the child of God. Bless your heart. This health and wealth crowd has just about ruined true Christianity for America. Well, something good is going to happen to you today. I'm going to tell you what. Something good happened to me September the 13th, 1970. Bless God. Amen! It's the best thing ever happened to me. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how could it be good if you're living under all that pressure? In the sweet by and by, she'll all roll away. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Yeah. Son, you won't have to twist wrenches up there, Steve, to make you live. And there won't be no mechanic shops up there. No more land tile, Brother George. She'll be gold. Amen. That's right. Amen. Rachel, no more shots. Everybody up there will be well. Hallelujah to God. No vaccinations, no immunizations, no ampicillina. Amen. That's ampicillin. In case that's no penicillin. That's right. Amen. Everybody be well up there. You won't have to build no more buildings, Brother Mark. They'll already be built ready waiting for us. Woo! No more houses to build, Brother Robert. There's already mansions awaiting on the other side. I'm telling you, one of these days she'll be all over. Glory to God. It'll be worth it all. Afflictions. Turmoil. I wrote down some people in the Bible that the Bible definitely says were under affliction. I thought about Hannah. How that Hannah suffered affliction. The Bible's clear about that. In 1 Samuel chapter number, you don't need to turn there, chapter 1 and verse 11. When she had went up to Shiloh, to where Eli was, there she was praying, and Eli confronted her, and she said, she began to pray, and she said, Lord, she said, you're going to have, and I'm paraphrasing, said, you're going to have to help me with this affliction. And the affliction was that she was barren. God had afflicted her with a barren womb. Somebody said, but Brother Hall, where did the affliction come in? The affliction come in every year. When Hannah went up to worship God, there was the other wife of her husband, of Elkanah, provoking her. You know, that's right. Arousing her anger and her wrath. A mocking her and a making fun of her. Putting her under a load of pressure that she could barely live under. Are you listening to me? That's right. Oh, what affliction. What affliction it is to desire to have that which God blesses abundantly and cannot have it. I've often, when I preach on Hannah, I can't help but to think of Angie and her situation. But there was little Hannah, barren, could not have a child. And there was a nagging woman provoking her year after year, putting her under pressure. I'm sure that the woman thought, why? My life is not natural like other women. Why can I bear children like other women? My life is not like other women. I'm disarrayed. I'm in confusion. I'm confounded. Oh God, give me a man child. And I'm going to tell you, when she got down to where the rubber meets the road and waited on God and began to pray, God Almighty did bless your heart. Give her a man child. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now hear me well. Hear me well. God could have given her a child anytime He wanted to. Here's the point I want to make about Hannah in her affliction. God could have given her a child anytime He wanted to. And by the way, it does appear in the Bible that God afflicts His choicest servants. His choicest children suffer the greatest affliction. That's right. Here's the lesson I want you to learn out of that. God knew that Israel would need a Samuel. Amen. God had shut up her womb and allowed her to go through that affliction that He might, in His divine will, send a Samuel to be a judge and a prophet over the nation of Israel. And here's the thought I'm trying to convey to you tonight. The affliction that you're living under and the hardship that you're enduring and the hard time that you're going through just might be that God is just a buying time in your life that He might bring about His divine will and purpose and bring about a blessing upon the lives of somebody else around you. That's right. That's right. See, that affliction wound up being a greater blessing to the nation of Israel than it did to Hannah herself. Amen. God may be letting you go through what you're going through. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. This is way on down the line, but I'm going to use it right now anyway. God may be letting you go through what you're going through to be a blessing to somebody else. He may be letting you experience what you got to be a blessing to somebody else that's going to have the same problem somewhere down the line.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's not scriptural. I beg to disagree with you. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. Therefore, He is able to succor them, my friend. In a time of temptation, Jesus Christ didn't just go through all His temptations, all of His heartaches, all of His afflictions. By the way, He was a man that was acquainted with griefs and afflictions, and He was not just afflicted for His own health. He endured it all that somewhere down the line He might lend a helping hand to some little old peon like me or you. Oh, hallelujah to God. God knew that somewhere down the line, old Gary Hall had sat in his basement on a Sunday morning with his lip a-dragging the ground so low he'd have to get a stepladder to tie his shoe. God said, I'm going to let my son go through that affliction that someday down the road in 1997, I can move in that little basement and give that preacher an extra lift of the grace of God. Affliction. Affliction. Hannah's affliction was that she was barren. She was provoked. She was patient. And she was a-praying. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you being patient in what you're going through? Or are you trying to run ahead of God and settle everything yourself? And are you praying while you're going through it? You see, most of the time when we get between a rock and a hard spot, instead of driving us to God, drives us away from God. You know how it does it? It'll let a root of bitterness spring up in your heart. And friend, you'll get mad at God. You'll get mad at the preacher. You'll blame your problem on everybody. And you'll grow bitter. But I'm telling you, it ought to be the opposite. Run to God. Cast all your care upon Him. Let me go in here just a minute. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll be right back now. I'm going to pull a Sammy Allen on you now. Amen. That's right. Y'all can still hear me out there, can't you? Hallelujah to God. Amen. He's not expecting you to cast one care. Not two cares. Not three cares. Not four cares. Or five cares. Or six cares. Or seven cares. Or eight cares. He said, cast now your care upon me. Cast every stinking bit of it. Every bit of it upon me. Because I care for you, bless your heart. That's right. That's what God wants you to do. Are you praying? Are you casting your care on Him? Because He cares for you. That's right. That wrecker rides around town. He's got on there, Jesus carries my load. The problem is we're trying to carry our own load. We need to turn it all over to Him and let Him carry our load. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That doctor said over there, they said, are you short of breath? I said, a lot. He said, well, said, you got bad heart. Said, it's hereditary. He said, I'm just telling you right now, it's bad. But he said, you know, he said, bad valve. Said, your circulation ain't no good either. I didn't let that upset me a bit. Somebody said, well, you ought to get upset. What can I do about it? Let me ask you something. Did you bring about the problem in your life? Then if you never brought it about, then God has brought it about. And if God's brought it about, cast it back on Him and let God take care of it for you. Quit a worrying about it. Yeah. Sitting around a worrying and a worrying. I'm going to tell you what worrying will do to give you ulcers. I got a cousin. He was going through some hard times and didn't have a job or something. Somebody said, Vernon, said, ain't you worried about that? He said, man, said, why should I worry? He said, ain't nobody worries about me. He said, I'm not going to worry. What can I do about it? Right. Hannah could do nothing about her situation but pray. Amen. And when she finally got emptied of everything else and cast all of her care upon Him, amen, and prayed from her heart out of sorrow, God heard. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what He done. He delivered her out of all her afflictions. I tell you, we got the idea today that we've gone beyond the help of God. Friend, that's stupid. I don't know what... I'm telling you, it don't matter what Do you think the Jews down in those pits had gone beyond the help of God? All God had to do was just call a good Baptist preacher down there. Amen. Anoint him with the Holy Ghost and let him go to preaching. You'd be amazed what anointed Holy Ghost preaching, if it's adhered to and believed, what it'll do for people. I'm going to tell you what, son. You're looking at a man that believes in preaching. And the power preach. Hey, it was by preaching that the Holy Ghost called me into salvation. It was by preaching that He sent me to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe in preaching this book. I'll never forget years ago when I was in Brother Nolan's Bible Baptist Church, that Wilbur Hurt came down there and preached a revival for us one night. And the last night of that meeting, old Brother Hurt preached on Acts chapter number 5 on Ananias and Sapphira. And he preached on how God killed Ananias and Sapphira. And son, I'm telling you, it was surreal in my heart. I went running in that office when the service over, and I said, Brother Nolan, I got to ask you a question. I said, I'm just a little bit nervous here. He said, son, he said, I said, I'm nervous. I'm upset. I tell you, God, have a little help. He said, well, what is it? I said, who's God going to kill? He said, I don't reckon God's going to kill anybody. I said, under God, He killed Ananias and Sapphira. And son, that preacher made it sound to me just like God was going to kill somebody. But the moral of that story is, God can and God will if He has to. We just underestimate John. I'm telling you, God would put the angels on half rations, my friend, to see you delivered if that's what it took. God would destroy your enemy. He would destroy the vilest enemy you have, the strongest enemy you have, if that's what it took to get you delivered. Our problem is that we want out when God don't want us out. Son, God's put us in the pressure cooker, and we might as well stay in the pressure cooker till God gets done with us. Amen. Just stay in there. The old buddy of mine, Brother Bill Stotts, me and him used to run around all the time together. Brother Norton, we'd say, turn up the heat, Lord. We can take it, buddy. Pour it on us, God. He poured it on us. Old Brother Bill got in some trouble and had some problems. And God, he lost his job and his business and everything. God put him down in Bono Village in New Albany, Indiana, or Clarksville, wherever. I can't tell the difference in them three towns, Jeff, New Albany, Clarksville, all one big conglomerate there. Put him down in that place in Bono Apartments. And son, upstairs in the summertime was 190 degrees, and in the wintertime it was below zero. He said, God's put me in the pressure cooker. Oh, but God's brought him through it. And look here, he stayed in that pressure cooker. There's no getting out of that pressure cooker. He stayed there till God had finished the work that He had wanted to accomplish in old Brother Bill's life. Somebody said, what'd it do? It made a different man out of him. It'll make a different man out of you too, buddy. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen. Amen. Then I think of another person that was afflicted. In Ruth chapter 1, verse number 20, there was a woman there by the name of Naomi. She had come from Bethlehem and went down to sojourn down in Moab. And when she came back, they said, isn't that Naomi? And that word Naomi, what does it mean? Pleasant. Is that what it means, is pleasant? They said, isn't that Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For I went out full and I came back empty, and said, God Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. God hath afflicted me. Now look here. Where Hannah's problem was barren, Naomi's problem was bitter. But here's the point. Look here, the point. She said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Here's the point I want to see you to make. Why did God afflict Naomi? The scripture is clear. I believe it's in verse number 21 of chapter 1 of Ruth. She said, I went out full, but He's brought me back again empty. I just simply wrote down the point I've got there. It's not very deep. She was emptied in her affliction. She was emptied. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? That's right. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't want to be empty. I'm telling you that we've all, my friend, every stinking, sigh, lousy one of us, have got self in our life that must be emptied before God Almighty can ever bless and use us the way He wants to. Emptied. Our problem is we don't want to empty up. We want the full well and want it running over. Can you see that in Moses' life? Moses was stripped of everything. God emptied him before He ever exalted him. Now I'm telling you, friend, God will bring the high and the mighty low, and the low He'll exalt. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Amen. And if you've never hit rock bottom, you ain't worth a flip for God. Let me run that by you again. If God ain't never let you hit rock bottom, you're no good for God. That's right. Down there on the rock bottom where you learn to trust Him a little bit and walk with Him. It's where you learn to live a little bit by faith. Amen. Well, everything's going good. You got a pocket full of money and all this. And that's right. You ain't trusting God. Don't. No, sir. God may not always keep you there, but God's going to put every child of God in a situation where sometime in your life you're going to have to walk with Him by faith. Now, look here. Here is what God showed me. Now, you don't have to like this. You don't even have to agree with it. And I'll just be honest. I'm just throwing it out. I don't even know whether this is right. But I checked at what she lost while she was down in Moab. She lost her husband, and she lost two boys. I'm knowing that there's a spiritual application, all right? But I want to get that man's name, Elimelech, her husband's name, means my God is king. Do you know what I think she lost down there? I think she lost a jellyfish of a husband, for one thing. If God had been Elimelech's king, buddy, he'd have never left the house of praise for God's washpot. No, sir. That man wasn't following God. He wasn't walking under the control of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, no, God. She got empty down there, all right. In fact, I'm satisfied Elimelech may have very well been a plague all the days of his life to that woman. Now, this ought to help some of you right here. She also lost Mahlon and Chilion, her boys. Do you know what their names mean? Sick and pining. What a name for a man. Sick and pining. I mean, apparently these guys lived in low estate all their life. Nobody loves me. Oh, God, it's so rough. They only knew how bad I had it. Oh, God, I'm sick. Oh, God, I'm dying. How old are you, Mahlon? I'm 12. But look here. God emptied her of sickness and pining and gave her Ruth, which means beauty. That's right. I'm going to tell you what you can lose down in Moab under your affliction. You can lose your dead, dry spirit. Your sick, pining away, grieving away self. God wants to empty you of that stinking grievance of yours and fill you full of joy and bring you to the house of God full instead of empty. That's right. Now, spiritually speaking, God emptied her. I'm satisfied. God emptied her of self. Selfishness. Self-confidence. Self. Folks, look here. I can talk to a man 10 minutes, and I can tell in 10 minutes if he's thinking about number one or if he's thinking about somebody else in his life. And most of us think all the time about number one. Emptied of self. Oh, may God help us tonight. Affliction. God may have to afflict a whole lot of us to get us emptied of ourselves, that we might be full of the Holy Ghost. No wonder we're not filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, where then he says, but be yet filled with the Spirit. And I'm telling you, God cannot fill a full vessel. Hear what I said? God can't fill a full vessel. If you're full of self, there's no room for God. It's like when he was born, no room at the inn, everything filled up. No room for God in my life. Come on, boys, I got room for everything else. I got room for hunting, fishing, pocket knives, guns, but I don't have any room to come down to church and mow the grass. I can't make it to meeting, preacher. I wonder if we could all make it to meeting if Brother Hall closed down Sunday night and all we had to come to church was Sunday morning and Tuesday night. Well, preacher, I've got this. You just said it. I've. That little I've, possibly V-E, I've. That may have been her problem. I've. Oh, she went out full. She came back empty. That's right. Amen. Now, and I'm still in the introduction, so I'm going to have to hurry. There was yet another man. Now, her problem was bitterness. Bitter. She said, God, the Almighty, have dealt with me bitterly. There's the problem with Hannah was barren. She was barren. The problem with Naomi was bitter. But there's another person in the Bible that God brought under afflictions. Now, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time either. But 2 Corinthians number 12, there was a man there by the name of old brother Paul. And Paul said this. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Somebody said, what was his affliction? Hannah's was a barren. Naomi's was bitter. But Paul's was a briar. God gave him a briar in the flesh, brother. A thorn in the flesh to aggravate and just let him know that God was there all the time. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, most of us don't want that. I mean, see, that thorn in the flesh of Paul was just an aggravating, irritating thing that was just there. I mean, he went to bed with it on his mind at night. He got up with it on his mind at night. Every step of his life, it was on his mind. And by the way, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. I want everybody to look right up here at me. God's laid this on my heart. And I'm going to say it. You want me to tell you, can I tell the church what my thorn in the flesh is? I've got one. Y'all look kind of peaked now. Brother Hall, hey, look here. Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan, buddy. You'll never convince me it was necessarily a physical handicap. It was a messenger from Satan. It was somebody or something that had something to say to him about his life. I'm going to tell you what I think it was. Now, I may be wrong, but I believe everywhere Paul went, that messenger was right along beside of him. And Paul said, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. And that messenger of Satan said, you persecuted the church. You let him. By the way, Paul, you stood there and let him kill Stephen. You call yourself a man of God? Why, you ain't a man of God. No man of God would stand by and let him stone a dear brother to death, a good preacher, a deacon in the church, and a good man of God. And you tell me you're even saved? You know, Paul, you ate too many pizzas that day before you had that vision on the road to Damascus, buddy. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It was a messenger. It was somebody conveying something to his heart. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something, and I'm just telling you. And I don't want nobody feeling sorry for me, and don't want nobody feeling sorry for nobody in my family. But I'm going to tell you the messenger of Satan that buffets me, and I get up in the morning with it, and I lay down at night with it, and it never leaves my mind. It is a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The devil tells me all the time that Tammy's going to die. Every day. I live with that. I live with that affliction every day. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Your girl is dying. Every time I look at Tammy, I think, well, she's still sick. Tammy gets up and leaves the church, leaves the building. The devil said, see there, she's still sick. She's going back there. She's sick. She can't step in the service. She's so sick. She's going to die. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you? That's the messenger, buddy. And look here, that's what I was trying to get across to you this morning about your mind. I'm telling you, brother, that the devil or the messenger of Satan can so tantalize and aggravate and torment your mind that it can become a thorn in the flesh, something that you cannot get away from. I'm telling you, he's there. He's there every second, every awakening minute of the day. That messenger, that briar, that thorn in the flesh to aggravate me.
But I'm going to tell you what is through us all, what it's done. Are you hearing me now? Here's the thought on Paul and his messenger. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's right. I've never enjoyed preaching like I'm enjoying it. The last three years has been a blessing over the whole to be able to preach. That's right. Under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's right. That the power of God. It's one thing for the power of God to come upon you. But son, it's another thing for it to rest upon you. I'm talking about day and night, 24 hours a day. The power of God always present in your life. That's what God may be trying to do through your affliction. He may be trying to anoint you. Don't kick against the pricks. Yield to it. Anoint God. That's right. Now let God anoint you. That Holy Ghost and with that power. Amen. Let the Spirit of God rest upon you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Church, you can't, I doubt you can see much of it, but oh, in the secret place, what a change. What a change in my life. God's done, wonderfully done in my life. And I'm going to tell you why I believe it's through. It's through the afflictions and the heartaches. I've tried not to let anything that's ever happened in our church bitter me. I've tried my best not to get bitter, being stabbed in the back and talked about and lied on. I've just tried to keep sweet and keep right with God. And I'm going to tell you what God's done. God's honored that in a secret place. And it's down in that secret place. So that's right. Brother Chris, I felt like I had nothing at all tonight. I felt like it'd just be a total flop. And when I sat down in that basement this afternoon, I said, oh God, they'll be there again tonight, and we've got to have something from them, Lord. And oh, and it just seemed like in a second of time, the joy bells of heaven flooded my soul, and the good Holy Ghost of God breathed on my mouth would show up one more time at Island Ford Baptist Church. And I believe He's done it, brethren. I believe He's done it. That's right. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you just feel that way because Tammy's sick. I'm telling you what I know. It is a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, friend, you live under the constant pressure that the devil's going to kill one of your children any day. But I got news for him. He don't have the power to do that. Now, God might take her. But the devil ain't going to take her, Brother Steve. He don't have that power. I'm just telling you my heart. Look, church, you couldn't imagine. I'm telling you the thoughts I'm not like. Can I just tell you this? Here's some of the things he'll say. Your son-in-laws hate you. The church down there don't love you. They hate you. Sometimes he just about makes me believe it. And I'm telling you right now, I know he's made you believe it sometimes. Son, he's real. He's real, buddy. That's why you need to set your mind on God. Stay your mind on God. Keep your mind on God. Think on these things. Think on these things, brethren. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Old Paul's briar, it humbled him for power. And I finally got to the message. It won't take but a second and I'll be done. Now, in the life of Moses, what did it do as far as him suffering the afflictions with the people of God? What does it mean in your life to suffer? What is the significance of it? Other than what I've already... What is the real significance of it? May I say that your afflictions identify you with Christ. Oh, that's just... To you, that just sounds surface deep. But my friend, he suffered afflictions in this life. And what Moses was saying there, Moses was saying, I'd rather be identified with that little crowd down there than I would with this worldly crowd.
Oh, what a thought. And I just put these two thoughts down. Identified him, that is Moses, with Christ in his suffering. Brother Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 121 that Christ, having suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps.
Amen.
That's right. Identifying with him in his suffering. May I say to you that that's the fastest route to being conformed to the image of Christ, that you might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that you might attain, Paul said, that I might attain unto the resurrection of life. Here's the point that I'm making, that suffering, conformed to his suffering, but identified also in his spirituality. His suffering and his spirituality. You see, suffering will mature you. Suffering will grow you. I went astray, said the psalmist in Psalm 119, before the Lord afflicted me. That affliction will teach you. And it will teach you obedience to this Bible. It'll cause you to trust God. It'll conform you to the image of Christ. It'll help you to suffer as He suffered and let you enter into the very life that Christ lived while He was on this earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wants us to enter into the very life that He lived. No wonder we can't have revival. No wonder churches can't have the power of God. No wonder sinners are dying and going to hell. Brother, He is trying to conform you and I to His image that we might live the life He lived. And He lived a life of suffering and affliction. And the only way that we'll ever grow and mature is to suffer that same affliction that He did. He was rejected. Some of you all in here, if your own parents that there is lost, your family, you've got family members that's lost and dying and going to hell, and you can't, that's right, and you can't even muster up enough God on you to get them to tell you to get out of their face. He was rejected. Where He was rejected, we blend in. We just blend right in. God help us, folks. It's not just you, it's me. It's a whole lot of us. Identified with Christ. Can I say number two, that we suffer afflictions? He did that He might be a blessing to His people. God would make Him a blessing to the people of God. Now, and I want to point this Scripture out to you. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think I'm, excuse me, qualified to preach it. But I want to read it to you. I want you to hear it. I want you to read it with me in Colossians chapter 1. Please turn your Bibles there. Because your affliction, everybody listen now, your affliction that you're going through, God may be putting you through that, that you might be a blessing to the church. And for the sake of getting it in its context, I want to begin reading in verse number 20, chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice verse number 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you. And notice this, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ. In my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Now everybody look right up here at me. That word behind means to come later and to be inferior. And here is what Brother Paul is saying. Paul is saying that when Christ was on this earth, He did not suffer all the afflictions and all the suffering that needs to be suffered. He said, that's right. That word behind means to be at a later date and to be inferior. Paul is saying there that there are afflictions that's coming at a later date. They cannot be compared with the afflictions of Christ. And I say amen to that. No man has ever suffered the affliction that my Lord suffered in this life. Not to mention Calvary. None of us ever suffered in our regular life like He did, much less Calvary. No place to call home, no bed, no pillow. Despised, rejected, persecuted, reviled, mocked. Amen. Spit at. God, that's right. We've never suffered that kind of affliction. No, sir. No, sir. But Paul made that statement. Paul made that statement that who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up, which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. He said, I want to fill up all the afflictions. In other words, everybody look right up here at me. Brother Paul said, I want to take up where he left off. Where he left off, may God help me to walk in his shoes leather and fall under the same afflictions that my Savior fell under. And for this reason, get it now. For his body's sake, which is the church. May I say to you that your affliction may very well be to benefit the house of God. Amen. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? Well, I better turn over and read it. I think I'm in the wrong scripture. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. For what reason, Brother Paul? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You know what that means? That we may be able to comfort them that's in the same trouble we've been in. Now, I don't know why a number of you in here have went through and still going through some of the stuff you've been going through. But mark her down somewhere down the road. If you will stay faithful to God and hang in there, God will bring you through that and deliver you. And like He set up Job, Job suffered, Job was afflicted. But God set him up as a mark and used him as an inspiration, not just to people in his day, but hallelujah to God. He let him write a chapter, a book in the Bible, and he's been an inspiration for suffering and affliction from that day on. To the people of God. Just think of what you might do. Be a pillar. Be a rock of Gibraltar. Hang in there under the load. I mean, don't the confusion, disorder, and all that, and how you confounded. Just keep on serving God, and somewhere God, like a crossword puzzle, take it all and put it all together for you. And He'll set you in the house of God and use you to be a blessing to somebody in the house of God. And then I want to close with this. I believe there's one other reason that He let him suffer those afflictions, and one other reason why He'll let us suffer afflictions. I believe it will wean us from the world.
Amen.
You see, He had to be weaned from the world. You know where God weaned Him? Out of the desert. In a solitary place. Got him off of that bottle.
Amen.
There's a whole lot more worldliness in all of us than we want to believe there is. We suck the world's bottle a whole lot more than we want to admit we do.
Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. Don't fire Brother Hall for saying this. Please don't. Folks, if all we've done is cut our hair as men and got our women in dresses and throw the television out of the house, we've not done much. That's right. You see, we have preached on surface things so long. Somebody said, Brother Hall, we didn't shout tonight. No, sir, but I'm going to tell you what. If you'll take what old Brother Hall said tonight, put it in your heart. It's something you can wake up in the morning and chew on. You wake up in the morning, that long hair business will done be gone. Now, I'm against long hair on men. I'm against pants on women. But if that's all I've got to say tonight, you won't get much. But if you listen, you got something from God tonight that'll help you and help the church. Afflictions. And look here, it had to be done by faith. You won't make it. unless you've got the faith of God's elect, then you'll make it. Let's all stand together.